3. And I told you if the Lord would be our helper, we'd try to get back in this psalm tonight. And so I want to continue our thoughts in the 23rd psalm. I hope you've enjoyed this little study. I don't know what you want to call it, a teaching series or a preaching series. We've just kind of been going through and enjoying these truths out of the 23rd psalm. And I want to go back there tonight. And we deviated a little bit this morning there in the book of Genesis dealing with the folly of feeding the flesh. But I want to pick up tonight in Psalm 23 and thank the Lord for His precious, precious Word. Amen. Where would we be without the Word of God? I'm telling you, man, we'd be in a mess. And I want to say I'm glad I have the Word of God. It is not the best. The King James Bible is not the best translation for the English speaking people. The King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And God gave it to the bride to get her through the last days before Jesus comes. Yeah. Amen. And I thank God for that. Psalm 23, if you're willing and physically able to do so, would you join us by standing tonight? Psalm 23, and of course by standing, we're honor and reverence in the Word of God if you're physically able. Amen. Psalm 23 tonight. And I preached 47 minutes this morning. That's the longest I preached in a while. So I'll try not to be that long tonight. I'll try to keep it down to 46 minutes tonight. Amen. You see, preaching all be like rollover minutes, you know. You expect 30 minutes from a preacher at least. And there's been several services here lately. I preached like 25 minutes. So I ought to get like rollover minutes, all right. And that way, my wife's shaking her head saying no. She's like Verizon. They really don't have a rollover data plan. Because they really don't, amen, because I paid a $15 extra bill last month. Anyway, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let the church say amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. We know that Psalm 23 is one of the Psalms of David. And we've been looking at these thoughts concerning the 23rd Psalm and its position in the Psalms, how it's between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. And there we get a picture of Calvary in Psalm 22. We get a picture of the course in life in Psalm 23 with the Good Shepherd. And then the coronation of the King in Psalm 24. And by the way, that Psalm 24, you read that. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That's talking about that new Jerusalem. When the Lord comes in that millennial reign, He will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And we will reign with Him. And I believe that. You don't hear that preached much anymore, but that is the truth. Can I let you know, we're just not going to be on rocking chairs in heaven playing checkers throughout all of eternity. During that millennial reign, we're going to have a job to do. That we'll do for our Savior. Basically, right now, we're under job surveillance training. And what we do down here will determine our position in that millennial kingdom. I'm not, and that's a whole big subject right there. But I want to say this, I just want to serve God the best of my abilities, and I want to serve Him now and then to the best of my abilities. The good thing about that millennial reign, Brother Richie, is I won't have this flesh. So I won't have the capability to sing. I gotta leave that alone, or I'll be preaching something that I've not studied properly to preach. Amen. But we've been looking at this 23rd Psalm, and I'm not going to go through all the introduction. We've dealt with this. I will give you a little review on what we have preached. The first message we dealt with verse 1, with the Lord is my shepherd. And we said that deals with prominence. He is the Lord, by the way. You can't make Him Lord. He is the Lord. Amen. And then we dealt with His position is... And then I like it where it said that word, my shepherd, that gives the idea of His passion. And then we dealt in the second message with the phrase, I shall not want. We said that phrase gives the idea of sufficiency, it gives the idea of security, and it gives the idea of satisfaction. Anybody that's ever met Jesus was satisfied with Him, amen. When you get saved, you won't need anything else for your soul. Now, you might need some help, you might need some encouragement, but as far as the salvation for your soul, that was taken care of there at Calvary, amen. And then on the third message, we dealt with characteristics of a sheep and kind of taught a little more in that message. We dealt message number four, and it took three messages to get through it, but we dealt with the phrase, "He restoreth my soul." And we dealt with the straying of the sheep, how that is in us to stray. Can I say this? You don't have to teach your child to do wrong. They do wrong naturally. If anybody has taught me more about the depravity of a child, Seitler has taught me that. Somebody say amen. And then there's the search for the sheep. How the shepherd goes looking for that little lost lamb. But I'm glad he just did not look for him, but I'm glad he found him. And thus that leads us to the securing of the sheep. Wednesday night we dealt with the latter part of verse number 3 where the Bible said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And we dealt with three W's. We dealt with the question, who leads us? Where does he lead us? And why does he lead us? The who is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. The where is in the paths of righteousness. And the why is for his name's sake. And we rejoice in the fact that we are not in this thing alone, but we have a God who is leading us along this journey. Tonight, I want to deal completely with verse 4, and Lord willing, we'll have 5 and 6 to finish up in the next few weeks, the good Lord willing. I want to deal with verse number 4 tonight, and this verse number 4 is the valley verse of Psalm 23. And David speaks to us concerning the reality of valleys in this journey that we are on in life. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, going through the valley. Going through the valley. I want to say 4 things out of this verse tonight, and I'm done. First of all, concerning this verse, as we look at it verse by verse, word by word, thought by thought, that's what I like to do, expositional preaching. I like to get it right out of the Bible so we see it. First of all, I want to say there is a path that we must travel. A path that we must travel. Please notice verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." As we closed out the message on Wednesday night, we said there are 7 places in Psalm 23 where the shepherd leads his sheep. In verse 2 is a place of rest, where he said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There is a place of refreshment. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." There is a place of restoration. "He restoreth my soul." There is a place of righteousness. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." In verse number 5, there is a place of replenishment. "Thou preparest a table before me." And then in verse 6, there is a place of residing. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But we made this statement Wednesday night. In verse 4, sometimes God will lead you to a place of reluctancy. And that's that valley. We're all reluctant about going through valleys. Nobody likes going through valleys, and for sake of a new Christian that might be in the building tonight, a valley is that low place, that difficult place, that hard place that we'll have to go through in life. If you believe that when you got saved that everything was going to be peaches and cream and it was just going to be like an Oreo cookie all the way home and no more problems and no more trouble, somebody lied to you. Because the Bible said in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I want you to notice the contrast between those few words, the word few and the word full. We have only a few days to live, but honey, they're going to be full of trouble. And that is the reality. That was not a lost man writing that verse, by the way. That was a saved man. In fact, that was Job that wrote that verse. No doubt he understood that. But can I say this? There is going to be a path that we must travel. Can I say this? You can't get out of going through valleys. I don't care how hard you pray. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you go to church. You are not going to get out of the fact that you're going to have to go through valleys. There's going to be hospital rooms. There's going to be difficult days. There's going to be car wrecks. There's going to be funeral homes. There's going to be times when you want to pull your hair out or pull your spouse's hair out. Somebody say amen. And there's going to be difficult times and struggles. Brother Miss Christie, she'll never have that desire for Brother Mike. But anyway, pulled his hair out. Somebody already did. But there's going to be times of difficulty and struggle in this life. It is a path that, notice the wording, that we must travel. I wish we'd get out of it. I don't like going through difficult times. I don't like struggles. If you do, you bad messed up. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes difficulties. Nobody likes getting those unexpected calls in the middle of the night saying, "Come to the hospital." Nobody likes getting those calls from the doctor saying, "It's cancer. This is bad news." Nobody likes getting those kind of phone calls. But it's a path that we must travel. Can I say three things about this path? Number one, it is a path of darkness. Notice the wording of the text. The valley of the shadow. Here's the idea of darkness all around. Can I say this? You're not always going to live in the sunshine. There's going to be some nighttime experiences in your life. You remember over there in John chapter number 21, the Bible said the disciples fished all that night, and that night they caught nothing. Can I say this? There's going to be times in your life where you ain't catching nothing, where you feel like you ain't making no progress in the things of God. It was a nighttime. There's the idea of darkness. None of us enjoy these times simply because we're children of the light. Can I say this? If you're saved by the grace of God, you won't like the night times because you're a child of the light now. You've been brought out of darkness. That's what you was brought out of, but it's a different kind of darkness. There's darkness involved. But then secondly, there's danger involved in this phrase. They tell us geographically this valley of the shadow of death that David is referring to is an actual place there in Israel. And they said the reason that it is a place of danger is because it is the valley is so deep and the canyon is so deep that the sun does not reach the bottom of it in certain places, and the robbers will hide in those canyons and in those caves. And when those shepherds come through, when those travelers come through, they'll rob them and steal from them. Can I say this? The devil has thieves in your valleys that wants to try to rob you of your joy, try to rob you of your peace, try to rob you of your satisfaction. There's robbers in that valley. Gives the idea of danger. The Bible said the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But may I remind you tonight, this ain't a playground anymore. Some dangerous things out there. Then it's deadly. Notice the wording, the valley of the shadow of death. You know what the devil's desire is for your life? To kill you. To destroy you. So what he wants. His ultimate desire is for you to die lost in your sins and go to hell. But if he can't stop your soul and you give your life to Christ, he wants to destroy your life where you can't do nothing for God. That's how I know the devil's behind suicide. Here's why. Even a saved, and by the way, and people argue with this, people say, well, preacher, if somebody commits suicide and they're saved, does that mean they go to hell? Absolutely not. If you believe that, then you don't believe that God will save a sinner for save a soul for eternity. We see that, but I believe the devil's still behind suicide. The reason I believe that is because the devil can get somebody to commit suicide, they won't do anything for God. Amen. That is the truth. There is a path that we must travel. It's dark, it's dangerous, and it's deadly. Secondly, not only is there a path that we must travel, but secondly, in our text, I find there is a persuasion that we can treasure. Notice the verse does not end with a period, but it continues with a comma. Notice what he said. I will fear no evil. He sounds like he's pretty confident. He sounds like he has some persuasion. He said, I will fear no evil. If you understand in the text tonight that I will, this persuasion, we notice in this shadow of death, he follows this phrase up. Psalm 91, the Bible says, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall not no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Somebody said, preacher, what does that mean? What is that talking about? Well, in the context of Psalm 91, Moses is writing that psalm. And in the context of it, Psalm 91 is the night of the Passover. You understand the night of the Passover when that plague of all plagues was passing through Egypt and the death angel was coming through? Was that not a literal valley of the shadow of death coming through Egypt that night? But Moses said, I want to give you a word of comfort. In your house there shall no evil befall thee. The pestilence shall not touch thy house. No evil shall befall thee. Thousands may die all around you, but you're going to be safe tonight. You know why they were safe? Not because they had done anything. Not because they had earned anything. But I hope we get an amen. There was a lamb who had given his life, and he protected them through that night of death and darkness. So why could David say, I will fear no evil after the reality of death? Well, I believe the same three reasons we can say it. Number one, because the debt has been paid. You see, somebody who's lost without God, death is a fearful thing. Because when they die, they're headed straight to hell. And can I say this tonight on this Sunday night crowd? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you die, you will go straight to hell. There's no stopping at going and collecting $200. You'll go straight to hell lost in your sin. I don't care if you're a church member. You can have your name on every church roll in Rowan County. If you've never had a head-on collision with Jesus and He knocked the devil out of you and He saved you by the grace of God and He washed your sins away. I didn't say it's perfect, but I said there was a time in your life when you gave your life to Christ. If you've never done that before, then you are lost and headed for hell. Amen. I like what Dr. Kenny Kuykendall said. He said, our churches really don't need revival as much as they need regeneration. He said, we don't have as many carnal church people in our church as we think we do. We just got a lot of lost people that's put on a religious facade. I'm telling you, they got the preacher fooled, they got the Sunday school teacher fooled, they got their wife fooled, they got their husband fooled, they got their children fooled, they got their parents fooled, but I'm telling you, honey, one person you ain't got fooled, you ain't got God fooled. He knows your heart, and we like to throw that around. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does, and that's a scary reality. He knows what's really in your heart. He sees behind. I believe that there might be somebody here lost tonight. You never can tell, and I'm telling you tonight, if you're here tonight lost without God, the only thing you have to look forward to when you die is burning in the flames of hell for all eternity. Whether you believe it or not, there is a literal hell. There are little people in hell tonight. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go to hell because the debt's been paid. Christ went to Calvary, shed His blood there on the cross, arose on the third day in victorious power, and you can be saved. In fact, any sinner that dies without God and goes to hell, they died with their sin debt being paid. Because the sin debt's been paid for every man. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 that He tasted death for every man. So the debt's been paid. All you got to do is accept it. And by the way, it's more than just saying a little prayer. One of our men was, and I won't call him out because I don't want you, well, I don't care if you put two and two together. Y'all pretty much know how I feel. Was at a funeral the other day, and a pastor was given an invitation, and I believe y'all are giving an invitation to a funeral. Nothing wrong with that. And he said, if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to raise your hand. And this individual raised their hand. And from the pulpit with the mic on in front of 400 or 500 people, he said, I'm going to come down there to you right now. Now, there's nothing wrong with I believe you ought to be confrontational. I believe you ought to challenge people with the gospel. But he left his mic on and in front of everybody watching. He said, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And they said, well, no. Well, repeat after me. And they repeated a little. I can tell you the man in our church. He wouldn't mind me telling you. Credible witness. He said, preacher, he said, I watched. And she repeated a little prayer. And he said, well, look, she just got saved. There's more to it than that. There's something called Holy Ghost conviction. By the way, it was a church in Salisbury. Amen. And I'm telling you, it is not hard to be saved. Jesus made it so simple a little child could come to Him and be saved. But I'm telling you, I believe that being saved is like being in the birthing room. When my wife was delivering our children, we didn't do it in front of everybody. We didn't bring everybody in. We done it in a private, and I'm saying that that's between them and God, not doing it in front of 500 people. Somebody say amen. Here's what happened. I hope that lady got saved. Here's what happened. She got put under pressure in front of 500 people, so she don't say anything she needs to say so she don't get embarrassed. We got sorry account, good for nothing preachers putting notches on their gun belt, saying, look at me, ain't I something? I'm telling you, all that done is make somebody a twofold child of hell. And this will go on sermonaudio.com. I hope Delaware downloads it. Say hello to Delaware, amen. I'm just telling you tonight, that ain't how we do it around here. And the reason we don't do it that way around here is because that's not how God does it. And we're for doing things the way God does it, amen. So I said, preacher, what would you have done in that situation? If that individual would have raised their hand, I would have pleaded with that individual to come to Christ. If God would have nudged me, I would have went to that individual, but I would not have done it in the middle of the service to embarrass that individual. And I had to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But we got too many people. They want to build a name for themselves and build a name for their ministry. I don't know how I got on this, but here I am. I'm telling you, it's not about us tonight. It is not about us building Safe Harbor Baptist Church. I'm not interested in sending into the soul of the Lord how many we had saved. It's none of their stinking business. It's only God's business. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, we got too many churches. They want to impress the brethren and they want to impress everybody else instead of giving glory and honor to God. May I remind you, we're not around here to compare swords and compare churches and say, well, we have this many and we have this many. That's not what it's about. It's about magnifying and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's better than the best and He's higher than the highest and He's greater than the greatest. It's not about us. It's about Him tonight. I don't know how I got on all that. Them old timers say you just get something in your crawl and you just got to preach it, amen. I'm telling you, I'm so burdened about what's going on in my city. So many people have been given a false hope and a false possession, profession under the name of independent Baptist churches. God ain't in a million miles of that. Somebody said, preacher, you're being critical. No, I'm just trying to warm my flock. Amen. I'm telling you, here's what Paul said about it. Paul said, I'm telling you right now, if any man preach any other gospel, what I preach to you, I don't care who they are. He said, even if I do it, let him be accursed. And I'm telling you tonight, we have the greatest message to preach. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. We just need to preach it as God. I feel like preaching tonight, amen. We just need to preach it as God gave it to us under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I shouldn't have to use stories. I'm not against using illustrations, but I shouldn't have to use stories to scare you. I believe the preaching and the power of the Word of God is strong enough to deal with any man, woman, boy, or girl's heart and let them know you don't have to go to hell. But the sin debt's been paid there at Calvary. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to be scared. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm not looking forward to the way I'm dying. But I'm not scared of death, because the debt has been paid. As a 5-year-old boy, I accepted Him as my personal Savior. And He washed my sins away. And He birthed me in the family of God. And He gave me a free ticket to heaven. And it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It don't matter how discouraged in Luke's. I like what Paul said. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Amen. I got to move on. The debt's been paid. But the second reason I have a persuasion I can treasure is because death has no power. You realize that death is a toothless villain tonight? The shadow of a gun has never shot anybody. The shadow of a knife has never stabbed anybody. The shadow of a dog has never bit anybody. And David said, I'm passing through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow, because Jesus took care of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Bible said in Revelation, He said, I have the keys of death and of hell. Death is a literal person tonight, but the sorry joker don't even have the keys to his own establishment, because they're at Calvary. The lovely son, anybody listen to me? The Son of God walked up Calvary's hill. He didn't give it, He didn't have His life taken away. He gave His life willingly. He laid in that grave 3 days and 3 nights, and early on resurrection morning, old death got nervous, got on his phone and said, devil, you better get down here, because early this morning the stone rolled away. And when the stone rolled away, the Rock of Ages walked out. He took death's keys, He took hell's keys, and tonight I don't have to worry, because death has no power. In fact, for the child of God, death is not the house. Death is the door that leads into the house. Amen. So there is a, I don't have to fear death because the debt's been paid. Death has no power, but it gets better. For thou art with me. There's a divine partner. Now, this is going to be deep for folks from Rockwell, but y'all stay with me. You can't have a shadow without a great light somewhere. I wish I had somebody. Maybe this side will get it. You can't have a shadow without a great light shining somewhere. Somebody said, "Preacher, I feel like I'm in a valley and there's shadows all around me." You ought to thank God there's shadows, because that means there's a light shining somewhere. And I just bet you your bottom dollar who that light is. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If any man walk," let's quote it right. I want to get it right. He said, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Notice he said, "He that followeth me." Huh, it almost sounds like he's a shepherd. And it sounds like the sheep's following him. And it sounds like, according to that verse, that if the sheep follow him, they shall have light. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. A little bit of light will always dispel the darkness. And thank God, David said, "I may walk through some dark places. I may walk through some dangerous places. I may walk through some deadly places. But I don't have to fear, because thou art with me." I'm glad tonight he is with us. Amen. Bless his name. So there is a path that we must travel. There is a persuasion that we can treasure. Number three, there is a protection that we can trust. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, this shepherd has many pieces of equipment. The biblical shepherd would have many pieces of equipment. I'm enjoying preaching tonight, if you can't tell. Amen. He'll have many things he'll carry with him, Brother Sanford. He'll carry a lamp with him. "Thy word is a lamp within my feet and a light in my path." He'll carry a script with him. And that's like a little shepherd's bag that David had. And there have things like oil, supplies. One writer said he might even have a sling in there. One or two stones, you can't never tell. He'll carry a flute with him. Most of the time that flute is actually a reed that he cut out of a stream, and he drilled the little holes in there. And he'll use that flute to soothe, to calm, and to call the sheep. Can I say this tonight? This ain't in the message. I'm just throwing this out there. Can I say this? I thank God for good, godly music. Not this contemporary stuff, not this 7-11 music, you know, 7 words that sing 11 times. That's not what I'm talking about. Not songs that don't have no substance to them. I'm talking about songs, man, it just feels good when you hear, at the cross. "Where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my soul rolled away." You know, when that begins to sing, something in my heart gets pulled towards Calvary. "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth." That's why when I come to church, I like singing a little while, because it pulls me up where I need to be. That shepherd, when the sheep are straying a little bit, he'll get that flute out and he'll begin to play, and that it'll call the sheep together. Boy, I'm glad we have a song to sing tonight that God gave us. Amen. He'll carry a garment with him that identifies him as the shepherd. But David mentions two particular pieces of equipment in our text. He mentions the rod and he mentions the staff. First of all, that rod is a type of the Scriptures. That rod was our equivalent of a billy club. It's about 2.5 foot long. And what they said, that rod, he would use it for three reasons. I got to reading this today in Brother Billy Connoy's book. Man, tremendous. He said, first of all, he'll use that rod to investigate. In other words, he'll take that rod, Brother Don, and he'll push back that wool to see if there's any scabs, to see if there's any to separate the wool, see if there's any flaws on that sheep. The Bible said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is that not what the Word of God does? And apart, see if there's things in your life that ought not be there. Then it's for corrective use. Sometimes that shepherd will use that. Remember we preached about that shepherd breaking the leg of that lamb? Sometimes he'll use that rod to do that. But more times than other, and this is the part I love being a shepherd. I wish I could do it with the Grace's cats. But if he sees a little lamb straying away from where he needs to be, they're experts at throwing that thing. They are. And they'll take that thing and they'll throw it to hit him in the head, because sheep are dumb, and you got to get their attention by hitting them in the head. And why does he do that? To hurt him? No. To get their attention. So let them know, hey, you're going a little bit too far than what you need to go. And has God ever thrown something your way out of this book and said, hey, you're going a little bit too far? Amen. Then it's for protective use. He'll use it to fight off the lions. He protects the sheep from fatigue, from fear, from foes, from fever. You know what he'll do? He'll stand at the door of the fold, and he'll take that thing, and he'll take that rod, and he'll make sure there's no fever. He can tell by taking that rod and moving to see if that little lamb is sick or not. And boy, I'm glad this book will show us what's wrong in our life. Then, the staff is a type of the Spirit. That staff was about 6.5 feet long. They said it would rest under the chin of the shepherd. You've seen the pictures. He'll stand there resting on it. Then they said it identifies him as the shepherd, but then it'll lift the sheep. That little lamb that wandered away from the shepherd, if it was down on a cliff somewhere, he could take that rod and have that crook on the end. He could take it down there and pick it right back up. And aren't you glad the Spirit of God will draw you back to Himself? Then it's used for guidance. That shepherd can take that staff. I watched a guy do it today on YouTube. YouTube is such a blessing. He takes that rod and points, we're going this direction. God, the Spirit leads us. He'll guide us into all truth. Amen. Then I love this, so I put this one last. A staff is used to push little lambs closer to their mother. Little lamb gets strayed away from its mama. That little lamb's got to stay close to his mother to get the nourishment. So that shepherd will take that rod and gently push him back towards his mother. And Romans said, we cry in our spirit, Abba, Father. The Spirit draws us close to the Father. So there is a path we must travel. There's a persuasion we can treasure. And there's a protection that we can trust. Can I give you one more? And it's one word in the text. There is a passage that we must trod. Somebody said, preacher, we've read the whole verse. There's one word. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to circle this one word. It's the word through. Yea, though I walk through. You see, notice that word through. It doesn't mean to stay. It doesn't mean to abide in or to remain in or to live in or to camp out in or to wander in or to be lost in, but it means to go through. When I think of the word through, I think of three things. Number one, I think of the word forward. You see, a lot of people, they get in a valley and they sit down on God and they quit. And it was never God's intention for them to stay there. It was God's intention for them to go through. Now, I'm not too brilliant, but I know you can't go through going backwards. You got to go forward. Secondly, the word faithful comes to mind. The idea of faithful means that we're fervently going and not let anything knock us out or cause us to quit on God. And then the word following comes to mind. Can I remind you of this? The shepherd led you into that valley because you was following him. And if you'll keep on following him, he'll lead you out of that valley. Because you know he ain't going to stay there. He's got a throne to get to. Did you get that? He ain't going to stay down there. He's got a throne to get to. And he ain't going to leave you there. So I got to keep going. Billy Connor wrote it like this. Through the shadows into the sunshine. Through the blackness into the brightness. Through the darkness into the daylight. Through the gloom into the glory. Through the twilight into God's tomorrow. Through the midnight into God's eternal midday. Through the valley into the vision. And through the ravine into the rapture. If you'll just keep on going through. You ever thought about this? One day, and I'm done. You'll walk through your last valley. Your last one. Preacher, pray for me. We're going through some things. You ought to stop and say hallelujah to what you just said. Thank God you're going through them. Because you're not having to stay. Now, if you said, preacher, pray for me. I'm caught in the middle of it. Well, that ain't because God stopped walking. Because you stopped somewhere. If you'll keep following. But one day you can walk through your last one. I love this old song. Many times here in life I walk through dark valleys, and I question, oh Lord, when I don't understand. Then I hear Jesus say, my child, just keep looking. O'er the next hill, there's a beautiful land. Someday I shall stand on the top of Mount Zion, and I'll get to look in a heaven's fair land. I'll sing and I'll shout when I reach that city. No, I'll never walk in a valley again. Someday I shall walk through death's lonely valley. But Jesus, my Lord, will hold to my hand. Yes, thanks be to God, it will be just a shadow. Then on top of Mount Zion, I'll stand. We're headed out of here. Let's keep on going. Keep on walking. If you don't get nothing else out of today, just think about that word through. Lord, I'm in a good singing mood tonight. I have started to walk in the light shining upon me from heaven so bright. I've bade this world and its follies adieu. I've started in Jesus, and I'm going through. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take this way with my Lord's despised few. I have started in Jesus, and I'm going through. I'd rather walk with my Jesus alone and have for my pillow, like Jacob, a stone, living each moment with his face in my view. I have started in Jesus, and I'm going through. Let's go through tonight. Keep on walking. Keep on going. Let's stand together. I preached 35 minutes. Miss Carrie, you come. Play a verse of invitation tonight. Going through the valley. They will come. There's a path we must travel. But there's a persuasion we can treasure. We don't have to be afraid of death. There's a protection we can trust. There's a passage that we must trod. We've got to keep on going. Keep on going. These altars are open. She begins to play. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, I want with heads bowed and eyes closed. I know it's Sunday night. I know I preach pretty hard.